This morning I got involved in the other recorder up here and forgot to turn the other one on. But we'll try to pick up tonight's sermon on both of them here. We have a network now that Brother Pat Patterson has been working on, and any of you can go to it and you can see a picture of our church. I think he even put mine on there, and a list of all of our missionaries, a brief history of our church. And now then, we've got it fixed up to where he's recording my sermons and can even put them on there, and people can listen to them on that, and they don't have to come to church anymore. I'll tell you what, if church attendance falls off, Pat, we're pulling that thing. We'll pull the plug on that thing. Yeah. Anyway, remember this coming Wednesday evening, the weather's going to change, by the way. It's going to be cold, maybe raining, but you come out anyway. But between now and then, prepare yourself by reading the last 13 chapters of the book of Ezekiel, okay? We're going to be talking about the millennial temple, and we'll have a couple of weeks of it. It'll be an interesting study. Tonight, I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, using verse 23 for our text, which is a very precious verse of scripture that each and every one of us ought to know by heart. And it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now that's a Bible within itself. If we lost all the rest of our Bible and we still had that verse there, that would help us to evangelize the world. There seems to always be three of everything. God is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man is a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. And 3 days, there was Jonah and his experience in the whale's belly. 3 days, 3 nights, Jesus in the tomb. And there's 3 deaths mentioned in the Bible that I want to talk about tonight. We'll get down right where we live. The wages of sin is death. So death is the consequence of sin. It began with a warning over in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 17. God had created Adam from the dust of the earth, placed him in the Garden of Eden. It must have been a beautiful place. This is before sin entered the world. But God gave Adam a warning. He said, "There's a tree here that bears the fruit of the tree of life." Our knowledge of good and evil. There was nothing that had the tree of life on it. A knowledge of good and evil. And he said, "You may eat the fruit of every other tree in this garden, but don't eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now that's the first time you're going to find death mentioned in God's new creation here. Death. "Thou shalt surely die." turn over into the third chapter and get down, I think it's around verse 6, and you'll find there that Adam disobeyed the Lord. Now, we're leaving woman out of this for the time being because we're concerned about what man did. The command was given to the man to abstain from that. And the Bible tells us over there that Adam took of the fruit of that tree and he ate it in disobedience to God. And his disobedience brought sin into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. All men. It infected the entire human race. Now, it brought about what we call spiritual death. Because the day, God had said, in the day that thou eatest thereof. He didn't say in the week, during the week or the month or the year or the decade or the century. He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He ate it. He did not die physically. He lived on and on and on for 930 years. Before he finally died physically. But God had said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did God lie? I don't think so. I believe that in the day that Adam disobeyed God, he died spiritually. You see, there's a spiritual death. That's the condition of a person whom the Bible describes as being dead in trespasses and in sins. That death is a result of the sinful nature that we inherited from Adam because of his fall there in the Garden of Eden. And that death is effective while we are still alive. Now, this is a hard point to get across to sinners. To walk up and look at somebody that does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has never been born again, who's never accepted Him as their personal Savior, and look them in the face and say, you are dead. Now, they'll laugh at you. I'm not dead, I'm alive. But God said that they are dead in trespasses and in sins. Spiritual death. Every person that is not saved, the Bible calls them lost. A person is lost when they're dead in trespasses and in sins. He's lost and doesn't even know it. That's the spiritual death. They're dead while they are physically alive. Why won't people understand that? They won't believe it. You walk out here to some old raw bone sinner that doesn't know anything about God or the Bible or Jesus or anything that's good and righteous or the church, and you tell him that he's spiritually dead, he'll laugh at you. He'll laugh at you. Because he doesn't know and he doesn't understand his relationship with God. Now death, the definition of death is separation. It's about the closest that you can get to it. Separation from God. Now, God says your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you. Death is separation. A person who is spiritually dead is said to be without God, without Christ. They're alienated from the life of God. So spiritual death is the experience of all men separated from God because of sin. And the wages of sin is death. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one that doeth good, no, not one. He that believeth not is condemned already. Death has passed upon all men, spiritually dead. Now, there are disastrous results to those who die physically while they are in this state of spiritual death. As a person, they go out into eternity lost, condemned, and their destination is hell and eventually the eternal lake of fire. This spiritual death can result in everlasting separation from God and all that is good and holy and righteous, from which there is no recovery. That's spiritual death, and it's a reality. Secondly, we have physical death. That's our experience. Phyllis lost her brother. I lost my brother already this year. And there are others here whose lives may have been touched in one way or another. Now, physical death is when the spirit of life leaves this mortal physical body. Physical death is, of course, much more obvious than spiritual death. I like the description that's given to us in Genesis chapter 35. This is the account of Jacob's wife, Rachel, who died giving birth to Benjamin, her son. The Bible says in Genesis 35 that Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, you ladies who are mothers today know what we're talking about this. We men know nothing about it. We have seen you in your travail, but we have not been able to reach out and feel that hard labor that you went through to bring life into this world. You may identify with Rachel. She was in hard labor. The midwife said unto her, "Fear not, for thou shalt have this son also." Now, that's cheery words, isn't it? Verse 18 says, "And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died." Hang on to that. "For her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried." That is, her body was buried. There's a place over there today, just on the Jerusalem side of Bethlehem, at Ramah, a place where I think it was back during the days of the Crusades that there was a tomb constructed there, and it's called Rachel's Tomb. Rachel died and was buried. Her soul departed. Her soul abandoned her body. It left it. Now, the entire person is involved in this experience of physical death. That includes the spirit and the soul and the body, the Trinity of man. Everywhere in the Bible, and this is interesting, it's always careful to state that it is a person that dies. It will say the beggar died, or the rich man died, or the king died. A definite person died. Individuals die. In physical death, it is the person that dies that causes the dissolution of the parts that compose that person. Now, I think we can go to Calvary and see that illustrated on the hill called Calvary, where they crucified Jesus. And on the right side of him, there was a thief that was crucified, and on his left side, there was another thief that was crucified. Jesus was on the middle cross. Now, as they were being crucified and dying there, one of those thieves, the one on his right side, both of them, up until that time, had been railing on him. If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross, save thyself and us. But the one on the right side, we call him the penitent thief, after a while he got under conviction that what they were saying and doing to Jesus was wrong. And he turned, and in faith, he said to Jesus, as they were both dying on those crosses, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And do you remember what Jesus said to him in reply? He said, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Alright, goes on, and Jesus died. His body was taken down by Joseph and Nicodemus and prepared for burial and placed in Joseph's tomb. The thieves had not yet died. The soldiers came along and broke their legs to hasten their death. And before the sun went down that day, they both were dead as well. We don't know what happened to their bodies. We don't know who took them down or how they were disposed of. But Jesus had said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We know where Jesus' body was. It was in Joseph's new tomb, where no man had ever laid before. And there was a big stone that had been rolled over the door of it. We know where his body was. And maybe the thief had been taken down and his body was disposed of likewise. But Jesus had said, today thou shalt be with me. Now, we know that he and Jesus were together because that's what with me means. You can't make it mean anything else. So it's not just the body that dies, not the spirit, not the soul. It is the person that dies. Jesus died. The person died. The thief died. And there's a temporary separation of the parts of the person that dies in physical death. As Rachel, as her soul was departing, it was leaving her body, and her body remained, and it was buried. When Jesus died, the Bible says, he gave up the ghost. In the book of Acts, when Stephen was stoned to death for preaching the gospel of Christ, the Bible says that he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said to him, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he died. You read on a few pages, you'll find that King Herod made a big speech. Everybody was so impressed. But he didn't give God the glory. And the Lord sent worms that ate him up. And the Bible says that he gave up the ghost. When Rachel died, her soul departed. James writes in chapter 2 and verse 26, the body without the spirit is dead. We're talking physical death. So the correct definition of physical death is the temporary separation. I said temporary. Separation of the body from the soul and spirit. Now the idea here is separation, not annihilation, and not ceasing to exist, as some people would have you to believe. When the spirit is separated from the body, there is a cessation of life and the body begins to deteriorate. The body does not function on its own. We use the word dead as meaning inactive, inert, motionless, lifeless. And we know that after death, the process of deterioration sets in. Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus. He said, roll the stone away. Well, wait a minute, Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. By now, he stinketh. Why? Because his body is decomposing, that's why. Now, it finally decomposes and goes back to the dust. The body does. With the exception of the body of Jesus. Now the Bible says that God did not allow his body to see corruption while he was in the tomb. Paul writes, and I like what he said. He said that while we are at home in the body, that's what we are right now. We are at home in the body. That means to me that we are alive in the flesh. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We're not in heaven with Jesus. While we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. In that sense. But, he says, when our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved. Now that means to me that this body of flesh dies. This earthly tabernacle, earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved. We have a building of God and house that is a dwelling place for the soul and the spirit. If this body is dissolved, we have a house. Not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens. And he goes on to say that when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. Now that's the time period between our physical death and our physical resurrection. Because there's coming a time when the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. We call that the first resurrection. But between that, the time of death and that first resurrection, we are present with the Lord. Now, back before the resurrection of Christ, at the time of physical death, the person who died went into what I would call an intermediate body, for lack of a better term for it, which houses the soul and the spirit. This is a state of life in the sense of conscious existence. And it's illustrated in Luke 16 when he talks about the experience of Abraham and the rich man and Lazarus. Now that's a good chapter to read and to study. All three of these men are said to have died. And in this place called paradise, which is where Jesus told the thief that he would meet him that day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. In the heart of the earth, we find that there's a different experience of the wicked and the righteous in that state. The wicked, unsaved people experience a conscious pain and torment. At least that's what the rich man said. While the righteous, the saved people, experience conscious comfort and peace and joy. Now, physical death is the inevitable experience of all men, except Enoch and Elijah and those believers who will be alive at the time of the rapture. In the Bible, death is regarded as an enemy. And the Bible says that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So there's going to be a destruction of death. That's the physical death. Spiritual death, physical death, and now we come to number three. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 20 and read a few verses here. Beginning in verse 11. Of Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw, look at this, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, did you notice that while we're reading? Look at it again. It is the dead who stand before God. It is the dead who are judged, every man according to his works. It's the dead that the sea gives up, that are in the dead that are in them, in it. And then death and hell deliver up the dead that are in them. And the ultimate end is there in verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. Going back to, jumping ahead to verse 8 of chapter 21. He says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the unsaved person, body, soul, and spirit, is brought into this final and permanent state through the second death. This second death is the irrevocable continuance of spiritual death that we started out with. Eternal separation from God and all that's good. Everlasting punishment with the torments of pain and suffering in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. As the Bible says, tormented day and night forever and ever. The Antichrist and the false prophet are there. Revelation 19, verse 20 tells us that. They were cast alive into the lake of fire. Satan, the old devil himself, is in there. Revelation 20 and verse 10. And death and hell are emptied into it. Revelation 20, verse 14. The eternal death. The second death. Now there's a remedy for spiritual death. The remedy for spiritual death is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John chapter 5 verse 24, verily, verily I say unto you, the words of Christ, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The remedy, don't forget this, we know a lot of people that are spiritually dead And the remedy for spiritual death is Jesus Christ. There's a remedy for physical death, and that's the resurrection of the dead. He that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death, we're told. Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. So the remedy for physical death is resurrection. But there is no remedy for the second death. No remedy for the second death. Once sentence has been passed, you know, a person today who dies without Christ, their body goes to the grave, their physical body, their soul and their spirit. I think the spirit is the spirit of life, but yet I don't know. It's a little hard for me to distinguish this, but anyway, the soul of man that's lost goes down to eternal hell, and it endures pain and suffering and torments there. But there's coming a time when hell will give up the dead that are in it, and they will be raised from the dead to stand before Almighty God at the great white throne judgment. And then they're cast into the lake of fire. There's no writings of man that can disannul what God has said about hell and that eternal lake of fire. It stands. It stands. And that's a truth that we as Christians need to get a hold of. We are unaware, blissfully unaware of the fact that lost people are going to hell. May God give us a burden in these last days to see lost men and women, boys and girls, come to faith in Jesus Christ.